760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. But truly, you guys bring that joy to us tenfold. I'm joined by the Memorial Day Dream Team.
The announcer just said, here's Josh and Allison.
Where's Allison?
She's not here today.
I like her a lot. I hope she didn't quit.
No, we're going to hear her a little bit later on. There's
good,
a few
good
recordings that she's on.
She's
so
awesome.
We will hear. Yeah, we're
big fans of Allison.
No, she's out. She's doing stuff with the kids. I think they're going camping this weekend, she said.
Oh.
Bunch of moms and their kids all going camping.
I love going camping, except most of the time it's because I can't pay rent, but, you know.
you want to do it when you want to, not when you have to.
Exactly. By choice, not necessity. Well, why don't we open up the Holy Way with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, thank you for this time together, for these holy souls and all the wonderful people that have gone before us to help pave the way for this show that we are so grateful for. I pray that you guide us during this Memorial Day weekend so we can embrace and cherish the amazing sacrifice in service of those who have gone before us. Because Jesus, you said yourself, there's no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So help us always, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, forever cherish the sacrifice you laid down for us, especially the sacrifice that our heroic veterans laid down for us as well. So we could celebrate our faith freely. In Jesus' name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful, Josh.
Yeah.
Seriously, that was, and the thing is, you got to enjoy the weekend, but keep in the back of your mind why we get to enjoy this weekend.
Yeah, if you listen to this interview I do with Father Colin, this chat Father Colin and I it was so beautiful. And one of the things that he said that really, really touched me was, you know, because I was like, well, maybe just kind of leaning in the direction, well, I guess, how do we really, you know, remember them in our minds and our hearts this day. But I was kind of going in a morbid direction. Father Colin, not only a great priest, soon to be Army chaplain and captain and West Point graduate himself, veteran himself, got a pretty impressive resume, but he kind of gently and lovingly pumped the brakes and said, you know, we got to also enjoy this day and cherish it, remembering, you know, this is what they sacrificed for.
Exactly.
So we could be with our family, so we could enjoy this day together, so we could celebrate their memory, right? So that really, I'm really glad he said that, because it steered my heart in a far more uplifting direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a parade going on. Mm-hmm. Well, there's several parades. I think the one I'm familiar with is in Decula. They have it every Memorial weekend, every Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And my boys were in scouts, and so we had carried flags in the parade before, and they have those placards. I was showing you pictures yesterday of each military person who died in the line of duty. They have a placard for each one for the whole state of Georgia.
Wow.
And I don't even know how many there are, hundreds. And they get volunteers to carry one of these, and they're like a huge, you know, like 3-foot by 2-foot placard.
Yeah.
And each volunteer carries one of those, and there's a row of American flags that me and my boys got to carry the flags in front of those. And it's such a solemn celebration. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, it's so solemn, the moment and everything. But the one thing that I will remember, and I will remember this for the rest of my life, is I'm marching in that parade carrying the American flag in front of all these placards. And there was a man who, I'm going to guess he was a World War II veteran, might have even been World War I, I don't know. But I mean, he was old, and he was in a wheelchair. When he saw the flag come by, every ounce of energy he had
to stand up
and salute as the flags went by. It was every ounce, and there were people helping him stand because he wasn't going to sit while these flags went by.
Wow,
and
that's emotional.
I will just never, ever forget the look on his face. He was just determined to stand up and salute. And I bet he was pushing 100. Seriously, I mean, he was an old dude.
Well, greatest generation for a reason. I mean, that's literally what they're called. Am I correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Greatest generation.
Yep.
You know, when I went to Normandy, the American cemetery at Normandy, you look out and there are a sea of crosses, some Jewish stars as well out. And it didn't look like we were going to make it there before that closed potentially. There were no tour guides. I mean, we had every reason to turn back and say, this isn't worth it. We're only going to be here for a few minutes. When we get out there, and I don't know how long we were there for. Not very long. But when you get there, it's not the same. But you know when you get into adoration, sometimes the wave of Christ just embrace washes over you? Well, in a similar way, when you get out there, all I can say is whatever hit me when I saw all those crosses, it was just like it was a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
And then I found out the average age of one of those crosses, 21 years old.
Wow.
To think a bunch of kids saved the world.
Yeah.
Literally.
18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I was 21 years old, I was not storming the beaches of Normandy.
You weren't saving the world.
Yeah, I was maybe storming the beaches of Cancun. I don't know, but nothing that heroic. But in all seriousness, it was just a very powerful experience. So we really need to step into this day with, a prayerful gratitude and thanksgiving as well.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, I am grateful for the amazing lineup we have today. We have our buddy Father Vincent Sullivan unpacking today's gospel. Father Colin Patrick, our dear friend from St. Bridget and John's Creek, is going to discuss one of his favorite heroes of the faith in our Get Acquainted with the Sainted segment.
Awesome.
A plot twist. We are grateful for that. Our buddy Kathleen Lindemann, Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, is sharing how to keep our kids engaged and faith-filled during the summer. But first, you thought he was just in the middle. No, no, no. He is opening us up. Father Colin Patrick is going to share how we can truly enter deeply into this Memorial Day. We are joined by Father Colin Patrick from St. Bridget's Catholic Church in Johns Creek. He is also a veteran. We are so grateful for his service. Graduate of West Point as well. We have the privilege of having him in our diocese for a little bit longer before he becomes an Army chaplain. Is that correct, Father?
That's correct. And I know I was on the air back in November, but on that note again, just another shout out to one of my Army buddies, Larry Schauer, who's been on the quest a few times. So to him and to any other folks that have served, hello and appreciate your service. So
Larry Schauer's a rock. I think they should make a sitcom called Everybody Loves Larry. He is so cool.
A great man of faith right there. And
amen. Yeah, a tremendous warrior for God. Well, Father, can you help us make a distinction between Veterans Day and Memorial Day and speak to the unique significance of Memorial Day in particular?
Sure, yeah. So both, obviously they honor our servicemen and women and are special for that reason. But Memorial Day, which is coming up, is for those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, those that have laid down their lives. And it's a little bit more solemn than I would say than Veterans Day, even though that they're both interconnected. But it began shortly after the Civil War, I believe, and there's some dispute in this, but in Columbus, Georgia, of all places, here in our own home state, where folks would go out and place wreaths and flowers upon the graves of Civil War soldiers, both Confederate and federal troops, as a way of bringing peace and reconciliation after this war that somewhat tore our country apart. Wow. So that's kind of the roots of Memorial Day. It's honoring the dead of the Civil War.
And it's what you said, so powerful. So people would kind of lay down their allegiance, so to speak, and step across party lines to honor fallen soldiers on both sides.
Yes.
So you have a very unique connection to this, both as a priest, but also as a veteran yourself. As a priest and veteran, how does this day resonate with you? And is there a particular way you step into it?
As a Catholic priest, we have in our history, in our tradition, this belief that the dead or the communion of those who have passed are with us still. And so there is some real meaning and purpose to honoring the dead. It's a corporal work of mercy, as our church teaches, to bury the dead. And part of that burial or that committal process is to keep their memories alive and continue to pray for the souls of those who have passed, and the belief that the souls, especially in heaven, but also in purgatory, are with us, and that there's just that mystical connection there, not by our own ability, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's bringing all of this, all of world history into, that consummation one day in the second coming. But in the meantime, we're still connected with those who've gone before.
Yeah. I think a lot of times when we look around on Memorial Day, it's a party. You know, people are thinking, great, I got the day off, I'm going to head to the lake. But how can we as Catholics approach this day with a particular spirit of prayer and gratitude?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say, just making time for prayer, making time for that silence. I'm not going to say, don't kick off the summer. That's a beautiful part of our American culture, is to celebrate in those ways. But do take time to remember and honor those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, and to give thanks. Give thanks for them. So a particular song that actually comes to mind on Memorial Day weekend, because it's beginning of summer and honoring those who have fought, as a Zac Brown band's their song Chicken Fried, and talking to are you familiar with that?
I heard that song. Yeah.
So, listen to the Zac Brown Band, and there's one stanza in that where he talks about thanking God for the men who've died, who've given their lives, so that we can enjoy these things like chicken fried and barbecue and what have you. So it's just a beautiful but upbeat mention to those, and salute to those who have passed.
The fact that you brought that up is so wonderful, in the sense that we forget in the little things that we can truly honor those that paid the ultimate price.
Mm-hmm.
You forget about that this is a gift that has been, paid for by some of the most courageous people that went before us. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a wonderful way to put it into perspective. And I'm sure that you have, perhaps a particular veteran or someone that you remember when you think of Memorial Day. Is there anyone that particularly inspires you?
Sure. Yeah. I'll speak to two, actually. One who I knew personally, and another who I know kind of through this communion of the deceased. But the first one would be my company TAC officer, who was in charge of us cadets when I was at the service academy. And to go back to that Zac Brown song that means so much was I just remember that song playing one Friday evening in the barracks when we were all cleaning our rooms, because we had an early morning inspection the next day, the Saturday morning. And this particular attack officer was coming through the hallway, and he always tried to make, difficult things light. That was the thing we all loved about him. His name was Major Kennedy. And so he would actually bring his lab into the barracks, and he'd be throwing the tennis ball down the hallway and just kind of lighten the mood. And then that song was on as we were cleaning up our rooms, getting ready for that big inspection the next day. And that was one of my many good memories of Major Kennedy. And he actually sadly would end up losing his life in Afghanistan a few years later. On I believe August 8th of 2008, wow. he was killed. So God rest his soul. I think of him often. I pray for him often. He was in my mass intention for my very first mass here last summer. So Major Thomas Kennedy. So my hat goes off to him, and hope his family's doing well and have been able to move on and know that his love is still very much alive. I believe alive in Christ and.
And alive in you.
Yeah, alive in me, yes.
I mean, here you are ministering to all these sheep in Christ's flock, and you never know the imprint that he had on you that is radiating in those you serve.
Right, yes. I definitely feel his, I guess, intercession, if you could say, at times, like, again, that the dead that we that have gone on are actually still very much, like you said, alive, and so...
Thank you so much, Father Colin Patrick, for helping us embrace and enter more deeply into this Memorial Day. Look forward to having a chat with you a little later in the show about one of your favorite heroes of the faith.
Father Vincent Sullivan, the semi-retired priest here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, is back, and he is going to be diving into this Sunday's Gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you so much. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 14.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Be in our mind, on our lips, and in our heart as we listen to your holy word. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And the excitement that's in the air with our new Papa Leo.
Yes.
I think the Cardinals did a great openness to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new energy flowing.
Yes.
And especially with the sixth Sunday reading from Acts of the Apostles, it's figuring out the proper rules for the church. It was a problem back then, like today, just as it remains a topic of discussion. With prayer and discernment rooted in the Spirit, consultation with the leaders and then with the members, the early church developed a way of dealing with these disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
The question at the time was circumcision. It was not a minor issue at all. It meant that Gentiles were coming into the church and expected to have that cut done, woo. And also accepting a lot of the Jewish practices. To dispense with circumcision meant acknowledging that the Christian faith was indeed something new and open to all believers. The new teaching was promulgated in the name of all the members of the church and by the power of the Holy Spirit. It occurs to me that the media takes up a lot of these determinations by the church as, oh, the church is too dogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the encyclical gets the ratification as dogma. Well, dogma is rooted in the meaning. Something that is dogma is passionate. It is romantic. It's from Rome. It keeps the authority of Christ in history continuous.
Yeah.
That's the power of dogma. And the Catholic Church, please God, will always be, in that sense, dogmatic. And it needs discernment and a catechesis. So the new teaching at the time did not signify a rejection of the Jewish faith. The early Christians recognized the power of the Hebrew Scriptures, reading them with the eyes of Christian faith. And then in the second reading this weekend from Revelation, the new and the holy city of Jerusalem includes the names of 12 tribes of Israel. The past is part of the future, and the new and holy city, there is no need for a temple of stone or of earthly light. All the temple will need is the heart of God, and all of the light we need is the word of the Lamb of God. So in the Gospel we have John today saying from Jesus' lips, "The remain in the love with him." God is love. Jesus assures us that he will remain with us always through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's after all the gift that the Father and the Son have to give. Good that I go so that my Holy Spirit, so that love can truly dwell in you. That power will give each of us peace of heart and soul. The peace of Christ reminds us of where our hearts must be, always resting in God and in the love of Christ Jesus. And this invitation to receive is incredible. Mm-hmm. The love that I have with the Father, I wish it be yours. So it's not a feeling, it's an infilling. And we get the first fruits of Easter, resurrection. The joy I have with yours, also the peace. Peace is a gift given to the world and so needed in the world, a gift each of us shares with another whenever we act in the name of the Lord according to the will of God. In the midst of division, war, uncertainty, we can be people of peace by holding fast to the gifts we are given in baptism. Faith in Christ, the power of the Spirit, and safety in the heart of God.
That is very powerful, Father.
The first wonder that this gift we've heard from the gospel of the Holy Spirit works in the world is to preserve joy. Joy in our heart in the midst of sorrow. Mm-hmm. This is why the early church grew so wonderfully in the midst of 400 years of the most horrific persecutions. They thrived. Joy then is not a feeling, it's an act of the will, according to the will of the Father, according to the commandments as we heard in the gospel, in the name of Jesus, according to the will of God. And therefore, because it's in the midst of sorrow, the Holy Spirit is also called the Comforter. Mm-hmm. And joy also can be seen as prayer, the sign of our generosity, selflessness, thinking of St. Teresa of Calcutta, and also close and continual union with God, being open to love. God doesn't change in loving. So everything, eyes, face, action, that joy must be seen. When you are full of joy, you move faster and you want to go about doing good to everyone. Joy is the sign of union with God, of God's presence. And of course, joy is love. A joyful heart is a normal result of a heart burning with love. For she gives most who gives with joy. And God loves a cheerful giver. That's from 2 Corinthians 9. In this gospel we've heard, it can bring confusion for some when Jesus says, the Father is greater than I. Mm-hmm. How? Not by having any perfections the Son does not have. For Jesus has said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. St. Paul in Colossians says that in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He is equal to the Father, yet obeys his will. Obedience, surrender of will, is not a sign of inferiority. St. Paul tells husbands and wives to submit or surrender to each other, but they're equal. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' radical new order of society, this is not demeaning or oppressive, but free. It's what love does. It's what he did.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Vincent Sullivan. We are so grateful for you. You always bring such joy, insight, and depth to this program. We're truly grateful.
Thank you, and bless the program.
AM 1160, The Quest. You're Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:33.
We're joined by Father Colin Patrick from St. Bridget's Catholic Church in Johns Creek, soon to be Army Chaplain, and he is discussing one of his favorite heroes of the faith, who was also an Army Chaplain himself. Who are we talking about, Father?
This particular person lived before my time, so I didn't have the opportunity to meet him, you know, on this side of eternity, but I believe he's still very much one of those souls that is present and interceding, and hopefully he'll be a named saint one day, but his name is Father Peter Whelan. He was a priest of the Diocese of Savannah, mm-hmm. right around the time of the Civil War, so the mid-1800s. I think he's just a great exemplar for Memorial Day, again, speaking to how this national holiday somewhat began after the conclusion of the American Civil War. And the reason I say that is because Father Peter was a POW on both sides of the conflict, if you will.
Wow.
So in the initial years of the war, he was serving men at the garrison of Fort Pulaski, which is, if you ever go down to Savannah, it's a small outpost in between Savannah and Tybee Island. And that fort was taken by federal troops, and Father Whelan did not want to leave his soldiers, so he was taken prisoner and shipped up to New York with the other Confederate prisoners, where he worked to advocate for them to receive clothing and different things at a New York prison. And eventually his release was negotiated, and he came back south, came back home to Georgia. And returning here, he volunteered to go to kind of the notorious Andersonville prison.
Wow.
Which is in central Georgia, and that's where, you know, a bunch of federal troops were, POWs were sent, and it more or less just to kind of rot in the middle of this giant field in pretty deplorable circumstances. And but yes, Father Whelan volunteered to go serve, and he was known as the Angel of Andersonville. But he lived there tending to prisoners that were there and that were often in, you know, dying of dysentery. And I remember my last year in the Army, myself and another officer went to go visit Andersonville because it wasn't too far from Fort Benning, and they have the POW memorial there. And there's one exhibit that had a prayer book and a rosary that was belonged to Father Whelan. And at the time, you know, looking at that exhibit, I didn't really know much about him, but that stood out to me as like, wow, you know, even in this very difficult situation, you see that the presence of God working through this particular person and, to bring relief to the suffering of so many. Yeah, I forget the exact figures of how many were crammed into that field at Andersonville, but it was like, you know, basically each person had had enough room only to lay down, and then from head to foot was like about the plot of their land or whatever. They were just packed in there like cattle.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Pass away. Did he die during the war?
So he didn't die during the war. I guess before going to Andersonville or volunteering to go there, he took out a big financial loan.
Mm-hmm.
And he used that to buy food, to buy flour or cornmeal for all the prisoners that were there.
Wow.
And so he put this together in what became known as Whelan's Bread. And he would pass this out to the, I guess when he arrived, he'd pass it out to prisoners there. And so after the war ended and, you know, the camps were opened and the prisoners went home, Father Whelan went back to the Diocese of Savannah, and he was in pretty poor health himself, just given the conditions that were there. And he was given a large sum of money to get the medical aid that he needed, or to see treatment, find treatment from his wounds there. But he decided instead to repay the person who gave him this loan with that money. And I want to say it was roughly 7 years or so after the conclusion of the Civil War, Father Whelan just died of some long-term problems that he had received because of the conditions there.
Well, I love how he embraced his faith fully, and rather than taking the money and run, like he did, what he made it a priority to pay this back, right? But while tending to the immediate need of those whose lives were likely in jeopardy from malnourishment, things like that. I mean, he was, like Jesus said, you know, did you visit me in prison? If you do it for the least of these, you do it for me. I mean, so there's a major emphasis in providing for someone's spiritual needs, but physical needs as well.
Yeah.
And so he really lived both sides of that coin.
Oh, yeah.
That's so powerful.
And both sides of, you know, serving the prisoners from both sides of this conflict.
Yeah.
You know, so
Jesus says we're supposed to love our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't tell me what side someone was favoring if they are ministering to both people. You know, they were all God's children with equal dignity, right? And that is a pretty profound witness to display during wartime.
Right.
When you've seen both of these sides probably do just heartbreaking atrocities in, you know, in the name of war. Yet here he is serving them in this sacrificial capacity. Doesn't matter who it is. He is there as father and shepherd.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty powerful. Pretty moving for sure. So
That's amazing.
And if you were to, you know, kind of claim a side, if you will, as you said, our Lord's side, he belongs first and foremost to Jesus Christ. But, you know, I think it's pretty cool too, in that this priest was from the home state of Georgia here.
Yeah.
You know. Savannah probably has better dibs on him than us, our sizes of Atlanta, but nonetheless, he's someone that we as from Georgia can be very proud of.
Absolutely. Has his cause been submitted by chance for canonization? Is that on the ticket at all?
You know, I haven't heard anything. I've heard more of, you know, the other military chaplains like Father Emil Capone and Vince Capodanno, you know, some more recent guys. Their cases have been pushed up to Rome, but nothing that I know of on Father Whelan. So
hey, maybe someone from our Quest family can be one of the people that turns the tide. Okay, so you can ask for Father Wheeler's intercession.
Yeah. That'd be good. So we'll see. Whatever the good Lord and His providence, you know, if anything, we'll just I still think even if it's not a formal approved case, you know, these guys, Father Whelan and like my friend I was saying, Major Thomas Kennedy, they're still able to pray and intercede for us. So we'll look forward to seeing them again one day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the hope that kind of shines through all of this. And, you know, to keep in mind through Memorial Day weekend, just knowing and believing that we as Christians, as Catholics, we see all of this in light of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Father Colin Patrick from St. Bridget's Catholic Church, soon to be Army Chaplain. We are truly grateful for you.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel, is going to be sharing with us how we can keep our kids engaged and faith-filled during summer break. So welcome back, Kathleen.
Well, good morning, Allison. Good to be back.
As a mom of three, this is an important topic that we are going to be tackling today.
Well, you know, the summer is long. And so just like at Lent, when we made our Lenten plans way before Lent started, we need to think about the things that we're going to do with our children or our grandchildren that will help issue the summer forth, right? But it will be fruitful. And so, you know, you get into a couple weeks of summer, you know, the kids are laying around, you've got things you want to do, and then things seem to be just, oh gosh, it's not good. So I thought today we could talk about, let's get our summer plans together with our kids. Now, we don't have to, you know, have every minute planned for them, but we should have something fun, but yet spiritual that we have planned throughout the summer, so that teaching our children doesn't stop because school is over.
Amen.
Right? We're the First Domestic Church. We are the stewards of our children. And so it's our responsibility to keep feeding them with things that are good and holy and pure. So I would like to give today three things that we can do. Number one, we need to make a list. I know we have lots of maybe people we're going to see, vacations we're planning. We'd like to clean their rooms. We'd like to organize our things. So, yeah, those are all very important things, and we must do them. But what are we going to do spiritually for our children? Mm-hmm. And so I have my top three that I'm going to talk about this week. And hopefully in the weeks to come, I'll be giving you, you know, two or three little tidbits every week. And you never know, you might be having your grandkids over that week and say,
yes,
I think I could do that. And that would be a holy thing. And so let's start with, let's get some index cards and let's memorize some scripture verses.
Oh.
I don't care how old your kids are. I remember years ago, we had a lady in our neighborhood who was a beautiful artist. And I asked her if she could paint a scroll over my front door in the foyer. It was a beautiful scroll. She put it right on the wall. She painted it. And then I wanted to pick out a scripture verse that our whole family could get behind.
Oh.
This would be our mantra.
Yes.
So I prayed about it, and I had like four or five different scripture verses. And I gave them to everybody in the family, my two boys and my husband. And I said, pick out which one you think should go over the front door and be our family mantra. And they were really into it. And they all picked the same one.
How divine.
And it was. And she painted it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anytime I'm around or I need an inspiration, we kind of say that to each other. That is our mantra. Who would have known 15, 20 years ago when I did this, that that's still relevant to me, my husband, and my children today? So how about parents sitting down with their kids, and you can Google anything. You can take your Bible, you can go on Google and just type in one word, and scripture verses come up. Have them select a scripture verse one a week. Now, if you have three kids, each one takes a scripture verse, puts it on an index card. Maybe you put that on the mirror in the bathroom when you're brushing mm-hmm. your teeth. Everybody's talking about that. When we memorize scripture, God brings those scriptures back to us in a timely fashion when we need them the most. Mm-hmm. Like Psalm 27:14, hold firm, take heart, and hope in the Lord. I don't care if you're 8 years old or if you're 18. I don't care if you're 60-some years old. We need scripture. And the more we put scripture in front of us,
yeah.
we can put scripture in our car. We can do this as even as adults. You need to take an index card, write a scripture, and with a piece of painter's tape, tape it to the dash of our car.
Yes.
Every time we get in that week, we're looking. Hold firm, take heart, hope in the Lord. You don't think the Lord is going to provide an opportunity when you're talking to someone that you could say, you know what, this reminds me of Psalm 27.
Mm.
Hold firm, take heart, sister, hope in the Lord. You know, that's God's word of acclamation to maybe someone else.
Yes.
You know, that needs that. So memorize scripture verses. That's a great one that you can do throughout the entire summer. Maybe someone will find that that will be helpful. Another tip I'd like to pass on is have your children make their own prayer books. We have lots of prayer books out there, but if you Google Holy Catholic prayers, have your children go through some of these prayers and write down in a little tablet or something different prayers that they find are really beautiful and really helpful. I had a girlfriend going through breast surgery just the other day, and I sent her this prayer because I found it somewhere, don't remember where I found it, but if I was making a prayer book, which I have my little notepad on my phone,
yeah,
I put down little things, and I don't even know where I got this, but listen to this. Lord Jesus, enlighten what is dark in me, strengthen what is weak in me, mend what is broken in me, bind what is bruised in me, heal what is sick in me, revive whatever peace and love has died in me. Amen.
That's beautiful.
Now, that's not a typical prayer you would find in a traditional Catholic prayer book, but it is a Catholic prayer,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I had it in my little notepad, and I knew she was going through surgery, so I go to my notebook, my little prayer book and my phone, picked out a prayer, and I texted that to her. It doesn't matter again if you're 8 years old or if you're 88 years
yes,
old.
Yes.
Right? These are things that we put into our toolbox, right,
mm-hmm.
that will help us to evangelize others in their time of need. And so here's what you do. You make that little Catholic prayer book with your kids, and then when you go to bed, it isn't, well, what are we going to say? When my grandkids come over, they always say, Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love. But that's a great prayer. But I want them at the ages of 11 and 13 to start getting into a little bit more meaty, you know, prayers
yes.
that you can just like chew on a little bit.
Yes.
And so if they make a little prayer, and you could even do one a week, and throughout the summer, you've got 8 or 10 prayers at the end of the summer. And when you pray with your kids at night, they pick one of their favorite mm-hmm. prayers. Or if you're praying together as a family, you know, hey, Noah, pick out a prayer from your prayer book that we can say as a family. And that's giving them kudos of mom and dad are recognizing that my prayer is important too. This
yes.
meant something to him. That's why he picked it. So making prayer books, decorating the prayer books with, you know, stickers or printed artwork or whatever.
Yes.
It's making that unique, and it's making it holy. And I'll tell you, in time you can pass that probably on to your children's children, right? Look at this is a
wow.
This is a prayer book that dad made someday. The third thing is make an effort to go to daily mass. Daily mass, mm-hmm. not weekly. Hopefully we're all going to weekly mass, but maybe pick up the grandkids and say, you know what, we're going to go to a daily mass. Some people don't even realize that there is a daily
yes.
mass. And daily mass is short. It's not an hour. It's a half hour, sometimes 25 minutes. You go through the scripture verses and then take them out for breakfast. Mm-hmm. That's a great little hour, hour and a half for a grandparent to do or for mom and dad. And I know moms are crazy busy. And my daughter-in-law is crazy busy. She's got so many great plans for the summer about cleaning and straightening out the house because she homeschools.
Yeah.
But you know what? Put that down and say, you know what? Today we're going to go to daily mass and come home and watch how the Lord is going to provide and open up time like you cannot believe.
Mm.
And do you know why? Because you gave him your first fruits.
Oh, beautiful.
And you're also teaching your children that that's important too. Daily mass is pretty awesome. It just sets the tone for a beautiful day when you're putting that first, right? It's mm-hmm. hard to get in the car. It's hard to go out. But there are Catholic churches all around, and masses are early in the morning. So it's not like if you want to go to 12 o'clock mass, there is. St. Thomas Aquinas has 12 o'clock mass. That's a great mass to go to, too, and then maybe go out for a burger after
Absolutely.
For lunch.
Absolutely.
You know, there's ways of making it work and putting God in their lives. It can't be a summer of video games mm-hmm. and watching movies and kids saying, I'm so bored, or I'm hungry again.
Yes.
Give them the food that really lasts, that builds up their souls, fills their hearts and minds with goodness. Things in the tone of the home will be very different when God is put in some part of that day first. It's very important.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, for blessing us with these wonderful ideas how we can keep our kids engaged and faith-filled during summer break.
Thanks for having me, Allison. And it's going to be a great summer. Let's get ahead of it and make it great for Jesus.
Amen.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
So it's 8:55. And Dave, you know, as we step into Memorial Day, I think we need some inspiration for the journey. So I want to read once again this really inspiring Pope Leo quote that you may love.
I'm, Pope Leo? Just a,
yeah, Pope Leo okay. XIV. Brothers and sisters, I speak to you, especially to those who no longer believe, no longer hope, no longer pray. You remember that one?
I do. You've just read that a few days ago.
It was a good one. I mean, it was some of his finest penmanship, wouldn't you say?
Here's a quote. The problem with quotes found on the internet is that they are often not true. And you know who said that?
Who said that?
Abraham Lincoln.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know he had Twitter.
Yes.
That's amazing.
So sometimes these quotes I found on the internet aren't true.
So you're saying that my Pope Leo quote that I was so pumped about, which was actually, I was in a Catholic men's group, and someone actually stood up and read the same quote without me sharing that with them. You're saying that both of us missed the mark and we were duped. This wasn't actually a Pope Leo quote.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, you got to double check and triple check your sources, man. It's crazy stuff, right? I saw a leader of a Catholic men's group, and he read the same quote.
Yeah.
And everybody was just riveted.
You always got to check the source. And today, especially. I mean, you know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe not. But today, you definitely got to check your sources.
Yeah. Well, I guess I better listen to Honest Abe a few more times
right.
before I press the publish button. But yeah, so I'm sorry about that, you guys. Truly an oversight. Don't be quoting that over Memorial Day weekend. You might look like a dodo like me. But we are so grateful for all of y'all. I hope you have a beautiful and wonderful Memorial Day. And just remember, the reason for this season is the sacrifice and love of those who went before us and fought for our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We are so grateful for you, and we look forward to seeing you on Tuesday. But Monday, we're going to have a very special Best of Memorial Day episode.
That's right.
Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.
Amen.